Good morning. It's wonderful to join again with the Second Family and Mountain View and all of Greenville, as it were, minus the geese this morning. Rick, thank you for your kindness and sharing this pulpit and your congregation together as we gather. I made my way down from the parking lot earlier and remembered that I'd forgotten these, which it's actually the third pair that I've had in the year. The last pair was left in the back seat of a Uber in New York 2 weeks ago, so we're making adjustments. This morning, if you would, notice with me as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 24, verses 1 through 9. These words are written in the English Standard Version of the Bible. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Share this morning from a thought, the morning. As we consider night and morning, they are separated by 12 hours, yet are more scientifically or significantly two parts of a whole. In many instances, one is pitted against the other, and they are as symbols of despair and one of hope. Foils, as it were, in literature. Elie Wiesel, in his writing Night, chronicles the atrocities of the Holocaust, and it, in sum total, represents the despair of a great nation and people and even all the world. Night, in this way, the least desirable of the two, but effective in another way in producing the fruit of the morning. That one, in this way, we come to understand that one is not more powerful than the other. That we really cannot have one without the other. Without the night, there is no morning. Maya Angelou writes in her poem, Morning, "A rock, a river, a tree, host to species long since departed. Mark the mastodon, the dinosaur, who left dried tokens of their sojourn here on our planet floor, and broad alarm of their hastening doom is lost in the gloom of dust and ages. But today the rock cries out to us clearly, forcefully, 'Come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny, but seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place down here. You, created a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouth spilling the words armed for slaughter. The rock cries out to us today, 'You may stand upon me, but do not hide your face.'" And so it is in this text, as we consider the night after the crucifixion. The night, the horror, the absence of Christ, who was the hope of the disciples and the New Testament church. He was at once the fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament, the coming of a Redeemer, one who would answer all of what the law demanded. Yet in his crucifixion, the horror, the terror, the brutality of his death, and then his burial, the silence of his message. Yet even as in Professor Angelou's writing, those disciples were compelled to remember. And it would be those who are least likely to come early on that morning. And as they approached the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. They came in the morning with their duty. Because of our faith, we have a duty to remember and to rise when others are sleeping. To know that our duty compels us to go forward into the least of places where others will not go. And so these women found themselves carrying the spices that they had prepared. They were intending to prepare his body as it should be prepared for burial. And when they arrived, they found that he was not there. And so in this case, mourning brought confusion. Confusion that the body of their Lord was not where they laid him. And so then they found that there were angels present inside the place where he should have been laying, and they reminded them of what he had said. While they were perplexed about this, they beheld two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And so we are cautioned today not to look for the hope of life in dead things, but that we would remember that the church brings hope to the world in which we live. And so we must also be reminded. Sometimes there are reminders from the least likely places. In this case, in the tomb, in the graveyard, there was a reminder that God spoke life through his Son, Jesus Christ. So in the morning, after night comes and works its most devastating blows in our lives, night seems to be the least desirable, but it produces the fruit of the dawn. It produces the hope with which we rise, even on this morning. So what is in the morning? It brings the hope of a new day, a new opportunity, that God has not forsaken us, that God has not left us in our night. If there are any gardeners among us, you realize that bulbs have to be planted in the ground. You dig up a little spot and you put those bulbs in the ground and it looks as if there's nothing there. But the hope is knowing that the earth beneath is doing what needs to be done in order that those bulbs would shed their outer shell and then they germinate. And after a while, you'll see them pushing through the ground, a leaf and then a flower. And so it is that it looks as if life has treated us so badly and that we are covered in darkness, but life is doing what it should do to cause us to mature and to grow and to become all that God intends for us to be. And after a while, we will shed that outer layer, and then the hope of what our fruit is to offer to the world begins to spring forth. There is hope in each of us. Not only does the morning bring hope, it brings clarity. Even in the subtle reminder of those two who stood by those women in the tomb who came desiring to work their duty and to carry out their assignment, sometimes we have to be reminded, even by the least of those, of what our duty is. And then we find clarity in knowing that God has done exactly what he said he would do. His word teaches us that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. My friends, I say to you this morning that even in the midst of what may appear to be darkness, what appears to be a night in your life, we take hope in God's word that he is indeed who he said he is. And while there are critics who say he could not possibly have risen from the grave, we stand this morning declaring together from our variant backgrounds that he has risen indeed. All power is in his hands, power to dispel the darkness of cancer and other illnesses and sicknesses. Because he lives, we can face our tomorrow. Because he lives and because this morning has come, we have hope that we can declare to others, he is risen indeed. Not only does the morning bring hope, not only does it bring clarity, but it brings also victory, a victory that we must share with others. While there are those among us and around us, even in this very city, who are in despair, we are the chosen. We are the ones who have been given this treasure of hope that no matter the dark places we have come from, whatever those spaces may be, and many of us have varying stories of night and darkness, but we have risen this morning in the hope of this blessed day that we too can be redeemed, and those with whom we may come in contact may also find that hope in us, that we may, with a firm handshake or with a bright smile or with a direct glance eye to eye, to say with confidence, because he is risen, he not only rose from the grave, and not only is there an empty tomb, not only are there grave clothes cast aside, but he has risen in each of us. And that hope we carry into our community to remind them that because Jesus lives today, we can live also. We have risen in victory. That victory is over death. That victory is over hell. That victory is over all of those vestiges of life that may hold us down. This morning, we have the hope of a brand new morning. These women, as this story ends, they go from the tomb on this day. In verse number 8 of Luke chapter 24, it says, and they remembered his words. As a child, I remember the morning song. I remember being instructed how to greet those that I encounter in our neighborhood. Miss Maddie, who lived next door to us, she loved to be early in the morning watering her flowers. Or Miss Ballinger, who would go out early to get her newspaper and have her coffee in her hand. My grandmother, with her loving way of embracing community, always told us to be kind to those around us and to greet them with a good morning. And so this morning I share with you, good morning. He has risen. He has all power in his hand. We leave this place with the hope of knowing that we can face a brand new day.